Today I want to continue in our series, 12 Steps Up, and I want to talk about growing up. This effort that we all lean into to grow and become everything God had in mind when He created us. In this step in AA, we bow and ask God to humbly remove our shortcomings so that we might grow up. And one of the most challenging things about growing up is to be able to know the difference between when it's time to do things better and when it's time to just do better things. And so this morning we want to talk about the latter. When it's time to just stop worrying about the past and start leaning in to the future. To not do things better, but to say, God, what are the better things? Oftentimes our lives are so consumed with the small, little, insignificant hurts and slights and failures and losses that we blow them up and they become the full screen of how we see our future. The greatest Christian who ever lived said this, "Brothers, I do not have considered myself to have taken hold. I've not arrived. I'm not perfect. But there's one thing I do. I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead." I like that. He forgets the past, but he's straining. It's the picture of the runner who's straining toward the tape. Which means that every day ought to be a day we get up filled with joy and energy and anticipation and forward motion. I don't care how far you get in a day, let's just make a little progress. Let's gain on our demons, even if it's a half a hallelujah. Let's gain on our demons, right? I strain, he says, I press. I don't just strain, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What does that tell me? God has a purpose in my life. There is something I'm moving toward. There's a goal that's worth going ahead for. How many marriages have I seen stuck because they don't have a goal? They don't have a what I call a BSAD. Big, scary, audacious dream. You got a BSAD, a big, scary, audacious dream? He says, all of us who are mature think this way. This isn't just some overhyped emotional preacher. Every mature human being thinks about the future, leans into the future, presses toward the future, wants to grow up into the future. And then he says, if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. That is the challenge of a believer in Christ. Someone who the scriptures say has been seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We have a position, but our practice, there's a big gap between who we are and how we live. And the more we close that gap, the more we grow up. So we're going to be talking about moving forward, growing up, what God wants for us. What does God want for you? First thing I can tell you with absolute confidence is what I've just said, God wants you to grow up. Right? We want you to grow up into Him. Ephesians 4 says this, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. Christ is our Lord. He is our God, our Savior. He is our boss. What He says to do, that's what we do. We grow up into knowing Him and loving Him and walking with Him and understanding who He is. Peter said it this way, it says in your outline, like newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk so that you may what? Grow up in your salvation. Some of us in this room are saved. That's a good Baptist term. In right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, redeemed, reconciled, whatever word you want to call it. Born again. Have you ever heard someone say, he's a born again Christian? That's like saying water's wet, isn't it? Yeah. I think you only need one of those. However you want to say it, but if you are in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, some of us are like little kids at a pool. We're still wading in the kiddie pool. right? We got just enough of God to make us miserable and miserable to everyone who knows us, right? You know Jesus, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, you don't get saved, you don't get born again, you don't get down and say the prayer, Peter, say the prayer right now. Shut up. Get out of my face. That happened to me one year. We were in California having a vacation back when the kids were little, went out this pier, and this kid says, you don't know Jesus, you don't know Jesus. I said, shut up. I said, you're doing the right thing the wrong way, buddy. Get out of the waiting pool. Get out of the deep end. Right? I'm not trying to sell God on a stick. Growing up in the Christ is going deeper in an understanding of who he is and what he wants to do in my life. And you don't get any deeper than the Apostle Paul when he says, here's my deep understanding. I'm in a race. I'm going toward a goal. The goal is already absolutely sure. I'm already in heaven. I'm already have God's love. God have God's favor. And I want to grow up into this big life that God has for me. I mean, isn't that what we're celebrating today on the 4th of July? The sacrifice of so many who gave us the guarantee that we would never have to live a life of fear or smallness. To create a land in which we become all we could ever be. We could dream and hope and aspire and get into the deep end of the pool, right? Yeah, you'll swaddle some water, but it won't kill you. Amen? God wants you to grow up. Quit, oh Lord, help me, bless me, help my Lord, bless me. God says, shut up, I got that covered. Want anything bigger than that? Give me a Chevy. A Chevy, really? Is that all you want? A Chevy? You're praying for cars? Pray for a Lexus, pray for something. Pray Chevy? No, don't be, no, no, no. Oh Lord, just give me a Pinto. Lord, just give me something, Lord. Lord, I don't want to bother you. Just give me a little bit of something. God says, shut up, I don't want to hear those kind of prayers. Jesus didn't die on a cross so you could buy and drive a Ford. He died on a cross so you could at least have a foreign-made car, amen? Really, seriously? You say that's stupid. Uh-huh, yeah, you're right, it is. But no more stupid than how some of us live, isn't it? We have this amazing life that God says, come on, come a little further. You want some more? You want a house? Okay, a car? Okay, whatever, come on. You want anything bigger than this? You want to change the world? Of course, we know one person cannot change the world. Really. Don't read the history books. Don't dare read about a guy by the name of George Washington who, when we finished the Revolutionary War, and they made him president, the majority of the country wanted to make him king. And he resigned and went home and became a farmer. Don't talk about Abraham Lincoln, or don't talk about Martin Luther King Jr., or don't talk about a little black lady on a bus in Montgomery. Don't talk about these little exceptions to the rule. Right? You can't make a difference. Just pay your rent, pay your tithes, shut up, okay? That's all we want you to do. And your taxes. No, God wants you to grow up. Well, to grow up, I have to be teachable. If there's anything I'm sure God wants from me, he wants me to be teachable. Jeremiah explaining why God had forsaken Israel and why they found themselves in bondage said this: you're there because you didn't listen. You didn't pay attention. You were stiff-necked. You would not listen or respond to discipline. If I'm going to grow up, I've got to remain teachable, right? Yes, Dave, you have to remain teachable. What, is there something else you want to say? Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Dave. I have two dogs. Everybody know this by now? I have Cooper, just Paula's dog. And Cooper's 2.5, something like that. And Cooper's like, she's the mother now. She knows everything. She's cool. She's got it all down. She's smooth. And then Paula for Christmas got me a dog, and we named her Harley. She's a Yorkie. And she's happy. She is a party getting ready to unfold everywhere she goes. She'll chase dirt. She'll chase dust. She'll chase a bug. She'll eat a bug. And she just, you know, she just, and I look at them, Cooper's kind of got it covered, and Harley's the learner. And Cooper's kind of her teacher, her mama, and Harley's the discoverer. And I like both of those things. I like the maturity of, I'm okay, I'm cool, I know what's going on, and the excitability of the learner. And I think God wants for us both. That as we get older, listen, does everyone here understand that getting older is a privilege? Getting old is a choice? You wake up dead, you're not going to have a good day. Not at least here. Right? God wants me to be teachable. He wants me to listen, to respond to his discipline, respond to his word. To always be a learner, to be open for God to say, nah, not here, not now, not for this, not there. Go over here. Okay, go over there. I'll throw it over here. And that's one great thing. If you have a dog, you know, a young dog, you can throw a ball, they'll chase it everywhere. It bounces off a wall, they'll go after it. They don't say, listen, I'm getting sick of this. Either throw the ball in a straight line or shut up. No, they're just like, yeah, like, give me the ball. I don't care. That's how God wants us to be. A little naive, a little acceptable to life as it is, not as we think it ought to be. Are you open for God to teach you anything different? Are you willing to unhinge some of the ideas that you have so rigidly nailed down? Are you willing to awaken from your dogmatic slumbers to see God and the world in a different way? God wants you to be teachable, because if you're not teachable, you can't grow. God also wants you to think right. If you're guilty of stinking thinking, you'll never be teachable. And if you're not teachable, you'll never grow. How does God want me to think? Listen to this. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility. An attitude of gratitude. Listen, attitude in life isn't everything, but it almost is. Almost everything. You give me a person with a great attitude, and you can do almost anything with this person. They are teachable, they're learners, they're excited, they're energetic, they lean forward into life, they're ready to go, they know life is hard, they know it's not always predictable, they know that it rains and that it will rain again. And when it rains a lot, things flood, and when things flood, they ruin. And when they ruin, we get all screwed up, mad, and bitter, and angry, and as though everything we have, we're going to always have, right? Come on, I'll take you right in. I mean, we have friends who've lost everything in the flood. And initially, we want to go help them. Now we want to avoid them. Really, because what can we do? I don't know why it happened to you. I don't know. This is not right. It is not good. I hope it never happens to me. But all of us know that somehow, some way down the road, it's going to flood in our lives too. And we better learn. We better learn to have the right kind of attitude. This is what Job said. The Lord has given. Life is taken away. And in the giving and in the taking away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Because it's all going away. It's all going back in the box. You're going to lose it all. Trust me. Or you're going to hand it over to your children. They're going to hate each other because they're going to be fighting over it. I have no idea what that means, but your attitude should be this kind, the kind that Christ has shown us, that though he was God, he didn't demand or cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave, becoming like a man. He humbled himself. The humility of Christ. What did Christ say? You want to be great? Be servant. This is the way to be great with God. Serve people. Serve a purpose. Help people. Love people. Lift them up. Meet their needs. Give of yourself. God wants me to grow up. He wants me to be teachable. If I'm not teachable, I'll never grow. And if my mind isn't right, I'll never be teachable. I'll never learn anything. Humility. Coming into this with humility, right? You go to college because you want to learn, right? No, you go to college because you want to get your ticket punched so you can get a job. What a stupid way to live. Did I say stupid? I'm not supposed to say stupid. Paula tells me not to say that, so I don't know the word. What a dumb way to live. That's better, isn't it? Everything is something in our minds to be gotten over or to be gotten out of. Rather than saying, I am where I am because of God's love and his providence, I need to learn what I need to learn. I need to absorb what I need to absorb. I need to take away from this moment what I need to take away that will fit me for the future. Rather than just get me out of this, God is saying, listen, learn the lesson so we don't have to come back here again. I mean, the children of Israel went around Mount Sinai 40 times. That's a long time to learn one lesson, isn't it? God wants me to grow up. Hey, God wants me to be loving. A new command I give to you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have orthodox doctrine about the Trinity. Now, I'm all for orthodox doctrine about the Trinity. I got me some. I'm all for orthodoxy. I'm all for believing the right thing. I'm all for truth. I'm all for standing for truth. But let's be honest. I said this in the first service when I was overtaken out in the meeting area when I was out there trying to get coffee and people came out and just attacked me. So I hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say it again. The hardest day of the week to get people to work in restaurants is Sunday. You know why? Because Christians are so stingy and arrogant. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys don't have to attack me. These other people attack me and say, you're right. Say it again. Okay, you're right. This is exactly how you're right, man. You're right on target. I've been there. Okay, I get it. Trust me, I'm on your side. I mean, wouldn't it be great if the reputation of Christians in America would be, man, them Christians, they are the most loving, excited, energetic people. They love people. Man, you need something, they got it, you can have it. They're thinkers, they're creative, they're writing and painting, they're talking about how to solve problems. They're not condemning people, they're not cussing the government. They're not trying to vote them out of office. They're just trying to live a great big life. They're not trying to draw a circle that excludes people. As a matter of fact, they gave God the chalk and let him draw whatever circle he chooses. Amen. They're just people who just love life. They have no fear, full of joy, full of love, hold things really lightly. When I'm around them, I'm a better person. I'm not saying we should live that way. I'm just, that's theoretical. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And here's the greater gifts in the most excellent way. Love. God wants me to grow up. If I'm going to grow up, I'm going to have to be teachable. I'm going to have to teachable. I have to think right. To think right, I'm going to have to be a loving person. The more I'm open to love, the more I'm open to the right things in my mind, and the more teachable I am, the more I grow up, the more I become exactly what Paul said, that person leaning to the future, forward thinking, excited, I got a goal, I got a BSAT, a big, scary, audacious dream, and I'm going for it, and every single day I get up, I'm fired up. You know, people tell me life is short, I mean long or short. Truth of the matter is, for people with no goal, it's really long. Get up every day and just repeat the same old thing. Same old thing. Same old thing. Same old thing. I was thinking about my mom the other day, and if I live to be as old as my mother, I've got 32 more years to go. Whew. Wow. I know people who are living at such a pace and in such a way, they're not going to be able to make it as long as their body will take them. It's really sad, isn't it, to atrophy in your soul long before your body begins to give out. to get up every day with enough strength and enough physical capacity, but no joy, no spirit, no heart, no love, no enthusiasm, no passion. This is not God's will. God's will is that we would be free. People died that we would be free. Free to live, to embrace the world. So, because these are the things God wants from me, I will, with his help, gladly and freely, every day, give God everything there is of me to give. Every day. Now you say, well, here, I'm looking at the outline, it says, the six best reasons I tithe. Yeah. Because a lot of you need to get out of the waiting end, the shallow end of the pool when it comes to generosity. The first thing I started doing when I became a Christian is tithing. 18 years old. Made $1.65 an hour, and I didn't know what I was going to do with all that money. You know why I started tithing first thing? I don't know either. Nobody told me to. I just read it in the Bible. I had this little pocket Bible I carried around, and it talked about tithing and that we should come generously and give to God every week, that it became a discipline. It became a seed I sowed and a debt I owed, an opportunity I took, an investment I was making, a battle I would win with my own selfishness, but most of all, a teaching that I was learning to obey. And maybe that was why that was the first win God gave me in my spiritual walk. Some of you haven't won that battle yet. And you keep wondering why your life is like a big open sieve. Everything comes in and everything goes away. Because you haven't learned how to handle the things that God has given you. Everything in your life comes to go. It does not come to stay. The nice thing is my brother Dave Ramsey says, you can put a name on it. You can tell it where to go. I'm not just talking about money, but if we can't handle money well, how in God's name can we handle big, epic ideas and goals that will change the world? Let's get this right, and everything else begins to open up. So every day I'm giving God everything, all of my money, all of my possessions, all of my heart and soul, my dreams, all of my aspirations, my fears, my doubts, my worries, my hang-ups, my hurts, right? I'm giving him everything, all the good and all the crap. All the caca, everything. Here it is, Lord. I'm shoveling it all out here. I'm pushing my chips to the center of the table, Lord. Here it is every day. I gladly and freely give you everything. And all I can say is, I am a happy, happy customer. I'm not going to give God everything. I'm going to recognize God everywhere. Continue to love each other. With true brotherly love, don't forget to be kind to strangers. For some have done this, are entertaining angels without realizing it. Since I'm growing up, since I carry a heart and a mindset of gratitude. Since I'm leaning into every day, giving God everything, everything's at the center of the table, I'm then able to see God everywhere, even in the mundane. We think God shows up in the miraculous. God shows up far more in the mundane. Maybe God is showing up in that guy holding the homeless sign at the intersection you ignore every day. Maybe God shows up as the checker who checks you out at Publix, but you don't give the time of day. Maybe there's someone at work that's invisible to you. Maybe there are people who you have discounted as not important because they can't help you forward your career. They're the neighbor. They're the friend. They're a member of your family. They're in the path of your life every day, but you ignore them because you don't see God. You don't see they're significant. And maybe God is saying, there are some really insignificant people in your life. If you don't start recognizing them and loving them and blessing them, you're not going to get any further than you are right now. Because why should I put you around really movers and shakers when you can't even love ordinary people? Praise the Lord. This is good stuff, man. You think it's good hearing it? It's great saying it, man. I'll tell you. Everywhere. Paul and I taught one of our conversations, a lot of our conversations these days go back over our life. All the good people who God has poured into our life, all the ordinary people that have come into our life and done extraordinary things, who have blessed us and loved us and helped us and been with us and stuck with us and prayed for us and tolerated me and loved her. Can I hear an amen? And one of the things I'm trying to learn is to realize there are no big people, no little people, just people God loves. And if they're in my traffic pattern, I need to be loving and gracious and kind. I need to give them attention and think about them and see God. This could be I may be entertaining an angel unaware. Who knows? How about you? Do you see God everywhere? And you say, no, all I see is soggy stuff everywhere. Yeah, you can see God even there. Every day I will freely give God everything I have. I'm going to give every day everything I've got. I'm going to suit up, show up, and do the next right thing and trust God for the results and go home and eat a pizza. Amen? Let God run the world. He's doing quite well. Every day I'm going to see God in everyone and everything around me, looking for divine appointments. And here's the third thing. I mean, you know, here every day I willingly and freely and joyfully am going to obey God's wisdom. I'm going to do it every single time. God being my helper, I'm going to do life God's way every single time. And I am not, with God being my helper, not going to live on the basis of my emotions. I'm not going to let my feelings. I love feeling my feelings. I'm a feeler. I love feeling feelings. But if you run your life on the basis of your feelings, you're just going to be in the ditch most of the time. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Man, I tell you what, there have been times when I have felt like my wife didn't love me. There are times when I have felt like God thought, what was I thinking when I made him? I mean, my feelings have betrayed me more than they have served me well. Amen? Do what is right and just. This is more acceptable than sacrifice. Get up every day. God, I'm going to obey you even when I don't understand. I'm going to obey you even when I don't see the fruit. I'm going to obey you when it doesn't seem right. Because here is the issue. Obedience is a matter of two things, love and trust. If you love God, you will obey God because you trust him. If you don't trust him, you don't love him. Amen? There is a place God has carved out in eternity for every person who says, I don't love God and I don't trust Jesus. It's got a name. It rhymes with jello. It's called hello. Hello, without the O. I've been in Nashville 20 years. I've never in 20 years spoken a full message on hell. I've gotten a lot of criticism for it, and I don't care. Here's why I don't. I'm not for it. I don't want anybody to go there, even my worst enemy, and I have a few. I don't want anyone to go. I have to tell you that when I think about hell, I lock up. I can't think about it. But intellectually, there must be a place for people who don't want to be bothered with the God thing. I respect that, and I think God does too. But there's also a place for those who want with all of their heart and soul to grow in the capacity to love and trust God. That is a never-ending, joyful, thrilling adventure. I mean, think about that. Wow. I mean, seriously, how many people, millions of our brothers and sisters have died over the years, to give us the freedom to get up every day and love God and obey God to the best of our ability without fear of persecution or retaliation from anyone. Amen? Woo! Yeah! That's our heritage. And in God's name, let me ask you a question. What are we doing with it? You know what the best way to honor your dead relatives and our dead compatriots? To get up every day and exercise the freedom that they died to give us. To live for God without fear. To love the world to a better place. And to ask God to take us there too. Father, I bow in humility and confess that I want to love you so much more than I've been able to. I want to obey you in everything, every word, every movement, every syllable. I want you to take everything I have and use it in ways that bring you great pleasure. I want to be everything you created. I want to be everything you've redeemed me to be. And I want these men and women, my brothers and my sisters, to be the same thing. God, change the world through us. We're not big, amazing people, but we serve a big, amazing God. We have faults and sins, but we have been forgiven and restored. I pray in Jesus' name that you will lift every person in this room, that you will bless every man and woman in this room, that you will take the blinders off, that we would never, ever again disgrace the death of those who died for our freedom by living one more single day in fear. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.